Good morning.
Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. When Junior said, if I would get up and say, amend your ways, and it right away went through my mind, I would probably say, do I need to amend our ways? Where are you at this morning? This morning, the sermon I'm going to talk about is Christianity as a way of life. And I don't know who all was here the last Sunday evening service when Christian's family was here and Christian showed that video. But as the video of the man that was sharing his testimony, and they were talking, and he was talking about growing up as a Muslim and his prayer life, and he said, you know, they would get up and they would pray in the morning, they would have their prayer times. And he made a comment when he was talking about that, and he said, it was a way of life. And that kind of just popped out to me, and that's just kind of been rolling through my mind ever since that. And I'd be driving in different times, and I would just think about it, and I'm like, that was a way of life for him. What is Christianity to me? Is Christianity a way of life to you, to me? So we're going to talk about that this morning. Now, if you're going to turn your Bibles just to one place, you can turn it to Daniel 1 and keep it there. I'm not going there quite right away. That's what we'll talk most of this morning. But before we go there, I want to go to Genesis 2. Just a little bit first. Just to kind of set, life is a choice. God gave us a choice. Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17. Says, the Lord commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day that ye eat, you shall surely die. Then if you go over to chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you should not eat of the tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both were opened. Just wanted us to go there just a little bit before we go to the book of Daniel. Where we choose how we go in life is a choice. God gave each of us a choice. God desires, I made this comment in Sunday school this morning, God desires fellowship with us, and it's our choice. And here, when Adam and Eve made that choice, they separated that fellowship with God. Later in Joshua calls the children of Israel, later in Joshua 24, he calls them, he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Now you can turn your Bibles to Daniel, or if you already went there, Daniel chapter 1. And as I was looking at Daniel, he's just a perfect example of one choosing to serve God regardless. Daniel 1, verse 1 to 7 says, In the year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashphanaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them of the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of food that the king ate, and the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of the time they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. Now I'm going to stop right there for a little bit. I had never... It talks about him carrying captive, and as I was reading some of the footnotes in my Bible, and it just kind of stood out to me, the whole concept and the whole thing. When we talk of Daniel and we talk of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how that they just didn't eat of the king's portion of meat and his drink and his wine, but it doesn't really, that's just kind of, it's like, okay, it was kind of like, well, they're not going to defile themselves with that. But it gave some footnotes, and it was interesting to me as I looked at what the king was trying to accomplish in this first section of this, in this first section here in the first seven verses. First of all, he gave them all different names. Now, if you think about Daniel, his meaning of his name was God is my judge. It was changed to Belshazzar, meaning, O lady, wife of the god Bel, protect the king. The second one is Hananiah. His meaning was Yahweh is gracious. It was changed to Shadrach, command of Aku, which was their moon god. The next one was Mishael, which meaning is who is what God is. And his meaning was changed to who is like Aku. And then Azariah, his meaning was Yahweh is a helper, and it was changed to Abednego, a servant of the Shining One Nebo, or Nebo was another one of their gods. And then it goes along with the food and the drink that they and the wine that they refused. They did a vegetable diet. Some say that, well, maybe it was because it could have been offered to idols, and yet the vegetables could have been as well. Any of these could have been. They refrained from those. They also were to be taught for 3 years in the way of the land, which would be to teach them the way of the Babylonians. What they were after was they would take these, they brought these young men into these young boys into captivity to Babylon, and they sought to assimilate these young men into the Babylonian culture. By obliterating their religious and cultural identity, creating dependency on the royal court. That is why they were given names, schooled in the and then they were to be schooled in Babylonian literature and given the king's food. It was a constant reminder to them of the source of their daily bread. It was to take them out of what they had been taught, and to teach them a new way of life, and to teach them into the Babylonian, to change them over. How often today people try to discredit the Word of God and assimilate us into culture, assimilate us into the ways of culture today. I listened to a podcast. It's been probably a month ago here, but it was a young lady and her mother that had escaped from the northern Japan. And she was talking a little bit about the Northern Korea. And it was talking about how they had escaped and how they do it there. And they are limited to what you can listen to, what you can hear, what you can intake. So by limiting that, if you were to get a radio from them, she said that they would give you a radio, but it would only play what they would allow to play. They had it all pre-listed, and that's all that you could listen to, and it would play it over and over. And by that, they would teach you, and they would channel you into what they wanted you to believe. That's what Nebuchadnezzar was trying here with these three men. Daniel, along with his three friends. Now it just says that Daniel. Let me back up here just a little bit. We'll go ahead and read in chapter 1, verse 8 to 21. But Daniel resolved he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days, lest let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and their wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. And at the end of the time, when the king had commanded they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in the kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Who all here this morning is about 13 to 15 years old? Carter and Logan, you two, are you the only two? Dawson. So, if you were to be taken away from your parents, and it doesn't say, not everyone in this time that they came in and took them, not everyone was killed in this battle. However, they were of the noble people of Judah, and so it's likely, could have been likely, that your parents would have been killed and you were taken away into another country. How would you have done? Would you stand? Where's your faith? When you were put to the test, what about the rest of us? How would you have fared? How would you fare in a case like that? Would we have agreed, said, well, you know, maybe it's not such a big deal, been okay with, maybe we would have missed what he was trying to do. Daniel saw through it, and he was not ensnared by those temptations. All four of them, it says Daniel purposed in his heart, but he said it says along Daniel along with the three others. And if you read in the different chapters, when something would come up, when Daniel would make a stand, or when there was something there that affected all three of them. So from what I could read or what I could understand is it looks like the four of these young men were underneath this one eunuch, and so it's like, yeah, they would come together, and so these, yeah. He would share it with those, and these four of them stood up together. They purposed in their heart they would not defile themselves. They had purpose in life. I was talking to someone, and they said this: if we go through life without purpose, at the end of life, we wonder where we are because we just bounce around and go nowhere in particular. There was a young man that came to W.E. Gladstone when he was Prime Minister of England. Mr. Gladstone, he said, I would appreciate a few minutes of your time in which I might lay before you my plans for the future. I would like to study law. Yes, said the great statesman, and what then? Then, sir, I would like to gain entrance to the Bar of England. Yes, young man, what then? Then, sir, I hope to have a place in the Parliament in the House of the Lords. Yes, young man, and what then, pressed Gladstone? Then I hope to do great things for Britain. Yes, young man, and what then? Then, sir, I hope to retire and take life easy. Yes, sir, young man, Greatstone said. What then? Well then, Mr. Gladstone, I guess I will die. Yes, young man, what then? The young man hesitated and then said, I never thought any further than that, sir. Gladstone looked at the boy sternly and said, young man, you are foolish. Go home and think life through. Daniel had thought life through. Daniel had purpose. He knew where he was going. Someone said this: If your purpose is wrong, your direction will be wrong. If your purpose is fuzzy, your direction will be fuzzy. If you don't know your purpose, you'll just be swept along with the currents of the age. Daniel knew his direction. There was nothing that would stand between him and God that would make him forget who God was and who he served. In verse 17 through 20, we read, As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. At the end of the time when the king had commanded they should be brought, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them. Among all of them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians and enchanters that were in his kingdom. They stood for what was right, and God blessed them through that. In verse 20, they were 10 times better than the ones in Babylon, the other wise men that the king had. Find it interesting. So they've been before the king, and the king's tried them, and he knows they're better. And now the king has his dream, and somewhere Daniel and these three friends weren't there. It was just the wise men from the others. And then they found out because the wise men of the Chaldeans couldn't interpret this dream for them, they were all going to lose their lives. And when Daniel found out, he requested and he went to see the king and he said, "Give me time, make me an appointment, and let us reveal the dream." Then he went back to the other three friends and he told them what happened and he said, "Call on God for mercy." And God showed them the dream. As we look at Daniel, as Daniel told, first of all, back where we talked about where he asked not to eat of the food, different times through life or through the times that we have in Scripture. Isn't it amazing how God supplies Daniel with the answers and the thoughts that he needed at the time he needs them? Daniel didn't know what was going to happen when he said, "Well, just let us eat vegetables." He didn't know that they were going to be better looking, and yet God worked everything out. Later on, going into the lion's den, when he was thrown in the lion's den, he didn't know his life was going to be spared, and yet he served God and gave him the answers that he needed. Those types of things happen today too. As I was studying this and I was thinking about it, and of course my mind goes to the thrift store, and this was clear back when it first started, and we had three couples that went on, and they started looking this out and figuring out how this could work. And there's been different times that I've said already, I was like, where they came up with the ideas that they came up with, I don't know. It's like I would have probably said in a million years, I probably would have never come up with them. As you look at how they the idea of the time of getting some money, and in that time we'll clean it up, and just different things like that that have come along. You look back at how it has progressed and how God has worked it together, and it's just like in the time of Daniel, when we seek God and we're looking for answers, God has answers for us. God doesn't promise that all of life is going to be easy. He doesn't promise that it's going to be free of trouble. But in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it." Daniel and his friends, regardless of what happened, and both Daniel and all three of his friends, it looked like they would lose their lives, actually a couple of times. But they didn't allow that to change their focus. They knew what their purpose was. God's plan for the children of Israel was that they would show to the world. In Isaiah 49:6, he says, "I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach the end of the earth." For the children of Israel, God had a plan that they would reach out, that the world would find, that a straying world would find, that would see God and know who God is. As a nation, Israel kept going their own way, and they had lost that. It's interesting, as they were carried away, and here was Daniel and these three here. A little bit later on, you have Esther in another part. But as they were carried away, and as they, God would take these ones that would loved him and served him, and it looked extremely hard for them, and yet there they were, and these other nations. Nebuchadnezzar saw God, and then Persia a little bit later, towards the end of that's actually when Daniel would have been cast in the den of lions. There was another nation that they saw God, and they saw God who he was. Back to where I was talking about where Daniel and the three men weren't there when they first tried to interpret the dreams. These wise men were instructed in the way of the Babylonian, of their God, and their God wasn't able to interpret those dreams. Their God was not able to show them those dreams. And then you have Daniel and serving the true God and was able to interpret those dreams. It's a way of God showing himself, who he is, and his power. God doesn't promise to take us out of the hard things that we'll face in life, but he did promise to give us the strength to go through them. So this week, as you go through life, what you face, stand strong. In our world today, it's much like it was in Daniel's time. There's a lot of things that are trying to lead us away and to take our focus off of Christ and off of what God has done for us. Stand strong. Be that light as we live our life, that people will see Christ and we can lead others to God. So, all right. That is Brian. Do you have a song? 648. All right. 648 in the Faith and Praise. If you will stand. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you this morning for your love to us. And God, just as you were with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Babylon when they faced those hard trials, God, you are right here beside each one of us. God, I pray that you would be with us this week as we go through this week and live for you. Give us strength. And God, just like you did, you give them wisdom, and you give us wisdom today. God, I pray that you would help us to be a light. And this week, as we go through the day, that we could reach out and help someone that is hungry and searching for you, that your light could be shed upon them just by through the way we act and live. And God, just pray that you would be with us as we go from here today. In Jesus' name, amen. First,